Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to our latest Outsports podcast. It is August 11th. We are in the middle of the Summer Olympic Games from Rio. Well, actually, Jim and I are not in Rio. We're in Los Angeles. It is funny, Jim, how many people, friends of mine, people in the media, assume that you and I are spending the next couple weeks in Rio going to these events when it's probably the last thing on either of our minds is actually to go to the Summer Olympics.
Well, you know, you actually, if you're there, you know less about the Olympics than if you're not there. All you know about is what you're covering. And the logistical things, if we were out, say, covering a gay athlete, that's all we would do that day. And you would have no idea what else is going on. So we actually do a better job of covering the overall event, because we don't cover the particular sports per se, but we do a better job covering what's going on around the Olympics by not being there. I mean, I talked to John Branch in the New York Times, who we both know, and he said he is assigned to a story, and that's his story for the day, and he has no idea what else is going on. He's getting texts from people, oh, did you hear about this, and he goes, nope. So, yeah, being there would be fun on the one hand, but it would be very limiting. The stuff we would write would be limited to exactly what we're literally at, because you're not sitting there monitoring the media, social media, that we can do from Los Angeles. So we actually have a more varied report not being there.
Yeah, well, and we're not covering a particular team. We're not covering a particular athlete or a particular country. I mean, Team LGBTI is now 49 different athletes across about 15 different sports. And, you know, for us to be at swimming and then the women are in Brasilia for a match, I mean, unless you're following the women's soccer team, you can't follow them. You're stuck doing your event. And whereas here, I can just sit at my desk, go to the NBC channel that shows all the different coverage that they have at the moment, and just choose what I want to watch. And it's a lot nicer doing that than having to deal with Brazil.
Yeah, and also you're also seeing here, I mean, we had an amazing faux pas where the wife of a gay athlete was called her husband, and that literally was discovered because I happened to be watching the beach volleyball match live in my house, and I heard it. If I had not been there, I'm not sure it would have been picked up by anybody else. And it clearly wouldn't have picked up if I was covering women's soccer down in, you know, in Brasilia, because I wouldn't have been anywhere near it. So, it's different from covering, say, the Super Bowl, where there's only two teams to cover, so you can cover the event, and actually being there gives you an advantage in terms of, you know, access. But the Olympics are so big that everybody I've known has covered Olympics has the same thing, that you are just – you're covering your one thing, and that's all you're focused on. And so we're actually having more fun. Plus, it's nice to sleep in your own bed at night.
Well, unless you're sleeping in somebody,
else's bed.
Yes, it's best to stick to your own bed and not a hotel. Oh, I would love to talk about how all of our athletes are doing, but you know, there are so many results that we don't have yet. You know, who's going to win a medal in women's basketball and women's soccer and field hockey, track and field, so many things that have been unresolved. The three LGBTI athletes that we know of have won medals, Tom Daley and then a couple women in judo. So I think next week we'll end up talking a lot about how the athletes have done. And But to your point about being here and being able to see NBC's coverage of these Olympics, I want to talk a bit about the media and how the media has handled this, because there have been some issues that different people have pointed out. One being, yes, that NBC has not been great. And you pointed out one where an NBC commentator called a woman's wife her husband, which is beyond my understanding. And then, let's just take that one to start. I mean, the commentator apologized, but I don't know how that happens. And B, why I haven't seen NBC apologize. Have you?
I have not. The only statement we got from them was a statement from Chris Marlowe. Now, people who know Chris Marlowe said that that's, you know, he's certainly not homophobic, and it was almost, watching it, I didn't take it as a I took it as a totally brain dead comment. It's almost like he was looking at a sheet of paper and it had next to her name married, because what these guys have,
right,
they have these fact sheets, and so it probably had Larissa Franca married, and so while not looking what's actually on the screen, is her, but actually their credit, the producers kept with a shot of after she won her match, Larissa beach volleyball, runs to the stands and embraces her wife, hugs her, kisses her, then hugs her, I think, her mother and her whatever, grand or nephew or something. Anyway, and so it's almost like Chris is looking down and without even looking at the monitor, oh, married, is now hugging her husband, like someone saying in his ear, he's hugging her. You know, it's like, it, because there's no other reason to do that unless you totally screwed up. But I was surprised that NBC didn't come out formally say, boy, we really messed up. All Chris said, well, I made a mistake, which he did, but it seemed, it was just jarring, and I literally had to replay the tape five times to see, did I mishear that? And was there some guy lurking in the background she was hugging that I missed? It was like, and then I kept looking up, do they refer to wives as husbands in Brazil? You know, I guess there's some cultural thing where Larissa actually calls her significant other her husband, for, and because I thought, how could someone say something so tone deaf? And so it, that one was just a bizarre one. But so it's good that they actually showed them embracing without, you know, cutting away, but I just thought it was almost like the guy had a brain fart.
Well, yeah, and tone deaf, I think, is a great term for it. You know, it, this is why it's so important to have black people, women, Asian people, Hispanic people, LGBT
mm-hmm.
people across the LGBT spectrum in front of the cameras, behind the cameras, in the production meetings, so that somebody is raising these issues. Because I'm sure in the production meeting, probably nobody raised the issue that, oh, well, one of the athletes that we're watching is one of the few out LGBT athletes. Her wife is in the stands. Let's make sure we talk about it. Let's make sure we use the correct terminology. Because my guess is nobody raised that. Because if they had, it would have been done appropriately. I mean, all of these crews have to have production meetings before their events. And again, this is the term tone deaf, I think, is perfect. There's nobody in that production meeting, nobody on the staff brought it up for whatever reason. So
I'm sorry to interrupt, but in contrast, they were doing a women's soccer match with Australia, which has an openly gay player, and they said flat out that, you know, they took a shot, there is her wife, you know, they married whatever, and at one point, when they were playing together in the same team, the wife's now retired, you know, the wife came in and substituted for her. So you actually had a crew, you know, on whatever the soccer channel was, paying attention to that specific thing. So that's an example of doing it right, of acknowledging it. And to me, that was how it should be done, as opposed to what they did on beach volleyball, which was just like, what the hell? Her husband.
Well, and then in diving, Tom Daley has been a staple of the sport since 2008 at the Olympics. This is his third Olympics. He's one of the better known names in his sport. And in the stands, watching him win a bronze medal in the men's synchronized 10-meter platform was his fiance, Dustin Lance Black, who is an Oscar-winning writer, well-known in the United States. And the commentators there showed Lance on the TV, on the screen, never mentioned who he was, didn't mention that it was Tom Daley's fiance. And again, it's not as though Tom Daley is some totally unknown athlete from Kazakhstan who Americans had never heard of him before. He's one of the better known athletes who ended up winning a bronze in the event with his fiance, who's well known in the United States. And he says they never mentioned that that's his fiance. And it really brought me back to NBC's coverage of Matthew Mitchum winning gold in 2008. When they never mentioned that he was gay, never mentioned that his boyfriend was in the stands. So it was like, it just seems like they haven't learned any lessons from their mistake 2008 with Mitchum.
Yeah, I thought it was odd because I watched the diving as they show. I watched it on stream, And the commentators there was pretty much just, it was all diving. It was, you know, diver, 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 pairs a lot of information. There's two British voices. I assume it was an international broadcast feed. They weren't showing the extraneous stuff in the stands. It was all just diving. So I kind of gave those people a pass because they weren't talking about David Bedaya's kid or, you know, the Chinese divers' girlfriends or whatever. So, but on the NBC thing, which really personalizes at night, you know, we saw David Bedaya and his son, you know, oh, it was 2013 was depressing for me after I won the medal and whatever. And so they show Dustin, you think you show it in a stand. Why are you showing us this picture if you're not going to tell us who it is? And all they had to say was, that's, you know, that's Tom Daly's fiance, the screenwriter, Dustin Lance Black. And then they didn't have to go into a long exposition about it. And they have a chance during the men's platform when it's an individual thing to do more on him. But I was surprised that the producer clearly picked that shot showing Dustin with a Team Daly shirt on, and yet the announcers never even acknowledged it. Whereas if they show almost all the time, they show some, oh, that's his father, that's his mother, that's his what, you know, it's like as a matter of course, and it's like they still are seem uncomfortable with the whole thing. That, well, we'll show you who it is, but we're not going to tell you who that man is wearing a Team Daly shirt. And all they had to say was, that's Tom Daly's fiance, and left it at that. And it would have been enough, but they can't even go that step to me, which is weird. Like, you show the picture, but then you don't tell us why you're showing us this picture.
It really felt like they were trying to avoid talking about it. And,
yeah.
And again, you look at some of these other sports, I mean, they're talking incessantly about Michael Phelps' fiance or wife or whoever she is and other athletes. But then, like you said, they're showing Lance in the stands and they're just not mentioning who he is. It's so odd. Again, it was like calling Larissa's wife a husband. It's just so odd. And I just think it speaks to them probably not having that many vocal LGBT people at the table to say this needs to happen like this.
Yeah, and I'm curious what would happen if an American, there are no gay American men who are out, if a prominent American athlete was gay, would they be forced to handle it differently? Because, you know, if David Bedaya won the gold medal and had a child but his partner was a man, could they possibly ignore that and sort of not, you know, it's like, I just don't know. They just seem very uncomfortable with it, more so than homophobic. It's almost like, well, maybe part of our audience doesn't want to see this stuff or what. So the whole thing with Tom was just weird because don't show us a shot then. If you're not going to mention it, just show the diving and don't show me people in the stands unless you're going to comment on them, because we see the other people mentioned. Now, of course, they only showed four of the eight pairs anyway, because they truncated really for the primetime broadcast. But
he was one of the four pairs.
He was one of the obviously the medal favorite. So it was really strange they did not even acknowledge it. And I wonder if they're going to acknowledge it going forward when he's diving for an individual medal.
I don't know. So what's interesting is, you know, I wrote this column yesterday just titled NBC has a gay problem. It's gotten a lot of attention. Huffington Post reran it, and I know they've gotten a lot of readers for it. A lot of people are talking about this now, and I have to believe that week two is going to be better. I have to believe that they have taken some of the feedback and learned from their mistakes. And given how many LGBT athletes are going to be front and center in the second half of these Olympics, Simone Augustus and Elena Deladon and Brittany Griner and Tom Daly, I have to believe they are going to Megan Rapinoe. I have to believe they're going to fix it, and they're going to do a better job of being proactive on these issues. Because why do they need to be proactive on these issues? Because it still matters. It's still a point. It's still, there are so few relatively out LGBTI athletes. It's still a story. It's still news because it's still new.
Yeah, and, you know, they have not done, they've really cut back on NBC in the up-close and personal profiles. I mean, a lot of them are done on Bravo now, or they're just not. But you would think Tom Daley would be a perfect example of one. I mean, he is a big star in London. You have the whole, you know, him being open, you know, first coming out in, what, 2014 in December, whenever he issued that YouTube video. And you think that if you're looking for human interest catnip, that is a perfect example. He's a star in Britain. And so I'm curious if they do anything on any of their alternate networks of here's a profile of Tom Daley. Because it would seem that if you're looking for human interest stories, that is a perfect one. And if you ignore that, then it really tells you they really are very uncomfortable with it.
Well, he's the highest profile gay male athlete at the Olympics, but by a mile. I mean, the Finnish swimmer and the Dutch gymnast and the Brazilian diver, they just don't measure up to Tom Daley.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Daley, again, he's been a staple in the sport since he was 14 in 2008. I mean, remember him. He looked so funny up there on the diving board. He looked at the Olympics when he was 14 years old. And now he's, you know, a very handsome, good-looking, in shape, openly gay man with a celebrity as a fiance. It really defies logic. I understand that most of their packages are about Americans, but Tom Daley being British, he's the most well-known LGBT Olympian maybe ever. I mean, can you think of another not LGBT, Brittany Griner and Megan Rapinoe certainly eclipse him in the U.S., but...
Well, for men, clearly not. Yeah, not for a man, and
So,
They do enough profiles of non-American athletes, so that's not even an excuse anymore. They've done numerous ones I have seen by just scanning their other things. They tend, again, to be on... the alternate network, so to speak, you know, like the Bravo or something, and you know they have more of a studio show sometimes. But yeah, none of it makes sense to me. But it's funny that I said, well, at least it's a step up. They showed Larissa kissing her quote unquote husband. Maybe they'll get it right by 4 years. But she's on today. I'm not sure if they're broadcasting her match. She's not playing an American, so I really, you know. I'm curious if they've ever – see, part of it is we're not watching every second of coverage. For all I know, Chris Marlowe came on at the beginning of the volleyball match today and said, I screwed up, but I've not heard that from anybody.
Oh, wait, you said you heard
that?
No,
I'm saying since I am not watching every second of volleyball coverage, I don't know. It's possible that they are coming on and saying something like that. You would hope at some point it was acknowledged on the air that they kind of just messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting to watch over week two if they are more proactive in acknowledging some of these LGBTI athletes, because again, it is important, and they're going to have to in track and field. I mean, Caster Semenya and Dute Chan, you can't not talk about what the two of them have been through to get to the
event. And they're both Caster's favorite in her event, the 800. So she's going to be. I mean, she'll be the, you know, she's favored to win the gold medal, so you cannot ignore that.
Well, we'll see if NBC finds a way. Something that a lot of gay people were not able to ignore today was a report from the Daily Beast, where they sent a writer to the Olympic Village, or the entrance to the Olympic Village, told them to turn on Grindr and see what Olympic athletes he could track down. He went on there, just kind of posted a picture of himself, didn't tell people that he was a reporter looking to do a story, and just started engaging with some of the athletes who are on there, most of whom are closeted, and then turned around and today published a story describing some of them, including talking about one of them being from a homophobic country and mentioning the sport he was from. There are so many things that are wrong about this, it makes NBC look like The Advocate or Out Magazine.
Yeah.
For starters, Jim, I mean, I approach it as a gay man, just can't believe that this guy would offer identifiers of some of these athletes that narrowed down who it could be pretty narrowly. But I thought that you brought up something I hadn't even thought of, like for a journalist to randomly pose as some essentially gay athlete looking for action. when he was really just looking for identifiers so he could fill his story and turn it into a little bit of a witch hunt and make a name for himself. Journalistically, I'd be surprised if they don't suspend the guy or and the editor who okayed this.
Well, it is a journalistic no-no to go. You only go undercover in the most really serious stories. You're investigating child slavery or something that the only way to get the story. And even then, you are told, you know, if someone asks you directly, you got to come clean. I mean, it's all these ethics. And this guy posed as a gay person. He's openly straight. He posed as a gay person to basically get people to have, you know, come on to him and have sex, and then wrote a thing that the guy from Slate Magazine, their writer, said he identified just through some Googling and using original story. He was able to identify five of the athletes. I've not seen the original version. I don't know if you have it. You can send it to me.
Wow.
But he said he was able to identify five of the gay athletes, this person, just by the small descriptors he gave. And this guy didn't post a Grindr profile that said, "Hi, I am a straight journalist looking to do," you know, he was posing as someone looking for sex, and he's on Grindr.
Right.
So there's all so many levels of fraud and deception there. And then to give identifying information, including at least one guy who's from a country that's very homophobic, that if anybody knows how to use the internet could easily identify him, you're putting people literally at risk. And to have this person not be at least suspended and the editor suspended, I mean, who okayed this? It's one thing if you're straight and you're going to go on Tinder, and if you meet people, you go on a date and you write about it, but to pose as a gay person when you have no intention of actually engaging these people, it really is, it's a really disgusting, you know, form of outing. And the fact that they still have this article even up, they have an editor's note that makes it even worse. They had to take it down and have an editor's note. We really messed up in the worst way, but it is just, it violates all sorts of journalistic ethics. And, you know, it's mind-blowing, you know, that the thing about Grindr, people consider it almost a safe space, you know, that you're not going to be outed. And yet here now, you know, you have people there thinking, holy shit, is some journalist out there trying to entrap me to get some page views?
Well, I think Grindr to me is to an extent like a bar. If you walk into a bar, you're kind of walking into a public place. But what you don't expect is that somebody is going to approach you, talk to you, get your name, get your story, and then go write about it for the public without them at least acknowledging who they are. So whether Grindr is a private space or not, what you don't expect is your identity be revealed publicly by someone essentially misrepresenting himself. I mean, going to the edge of the athlete's village, posting this thing, you're trying to make them believe you're an athlete looking for a hookup as well. So I'm sorry, but this guy can't just say, "Oh well, I never lied to them if they asked." You were misrepresenting who you were by being where you were and doing what you were doing.
If he had at the just simply done a story talking about, even on Grindr, I threw up a quick profile and immediately got six people propositioning me and left it at that, that would have been okay, right? If he didn't give any identity and simply said, you know, this is how many people are on there. But he went further and was actually engaging them in conversation and sending them follow-up pictures when they were asked for it. One guy wanted nude pictures and he'd sent him a face picture of himself. So he didn't basically just simply say, "Here's what I found." He took it further. So yeah, it really is. You do have this. You do have on Grindr a feeling that the last thing you do is going to be outed by somebody. And so I really pray that none of these athletes, that this story somehow is not seen in these other countries, and someone doesn't put two and two together and figure out who they were, because it really was, I mean, about an example of shoddy journalism I've seen in a long time.
Well, now, I don't know how – I've seen the original, and I'll send you a copy of it. I don't know how you could definitively, even with Google, figure out who's who, because I thought the writer was sly enough not to go that far. He was sly enough to narrow the field down to one to two dozen athletes, but – I don't know if this is defense.
Well, the Slate guy claims that. I have to write him and see if he actually did identify.
I think he's full of it. I think he's full of it because I don't see how. I mean, literally, the most descriptive thing. There are two things. One was that he named a sport and said the person was from a homophobic country. Well, if you go to that sport, there were like two or three homophobic countries. So you can narrow it down to a couple dozen athletes. Another one was that, and this is still up there, that the athlete finished sixth. Well, you could go to all of the completed events, figure out all the people who have finished sixth, and probably narrow it down to a few dozen people. But I don't know how this editor is claiming that he can narrow it down. I have to look at this because I actually believe that person's lying. I think that's the editor's lying.
Well, have you seen the actual original versus?
Yes.
Because the ones
yes.
I've seen in the Wayback Machine still have the editor's note attached to it. I haven't seen one that has no editor's note.
No, I had. Well, I'll double check because the one that I saw in the Wayback Machine did not have the editor's note, and it had some other descriptors that are not in the edited version now.
I think regardless, you don't want anybody in these countries somehow searching these things and even putting someone under suspicion. You know, hey, is that possibly you? Are
yeah.
you that? You know, you finished sixth, and you're, you know, our country doesn't tolerate. So I think that's even the idea that someone even possibly could happen really is, again, I think we're both in agreement. This was something that if
yeah.
someone had asked us for our opinion, we would have said, no effing way are you going to do anything like this.
And we keep seeing this, Jim, over and over and over again. We saw it with Grantland and the transgender golf inventor. We saw it with our own SB Nation and article about a football player accused of rape, where they're not having the affected parties take a look at what has been written and to make sure that. Yeah, this is okay. And if a gay person did read this and say that's okay, I don't even know what to say about that. That's just that person should be suspended. It's just not what this person wrote was just not okay by any stretch of the imagination. Now I posted on Twitter. There are actually ways to do this that could be interesting. Like I said, being very very vague. Not using any descriptors of who they are or having, you know, talking to other athletes, finding athletes who have been on Grindr and talking to them about their experiences as a journalist. But again, what you don't do is pose as someone else, which is essentially what he did, and then essentially try to describe these people so it narrows it down and turns it into a potential witch hunt in some of these countries.
Yeah, if one of us had been in Brazil and on Grindr and we could have written a fun story without doing any identifying things. Oh, my God, this was like being a kid in a candy store or something, you know, or you see the most amazing bodies. I'm not sure if it really is the athlete. You know, if you had met the guy, maybe someone using a fake profile. There are a million ways we can do it. And one of the guys did it in the Winter Olympics for us who was on Scruff, and he talked about finding, he was doing some, he was video, right? He said he found an electrician. He found all these people to help him with logistic issues in Sochi, Russia on Scruff as a gay man.
Right.
And that was a very fun article to read because it was like, I wasn't using this to find sex. I was using this to find an electrician and a plumber to unclog my toilet. And I found them on Scruff because they were helping out a fellow whatever. And that was a fun story to do because it wasn't doing, this guy was a voyeur. And he was doing it almost like, this was like 20 years ago. Oh, look at these gay people. All they want is sex. And yet we hear that, you know, Tinder's usage is up like 200%, you know, with straight people. That's the fun story to do. You know, they have Tinder profiles of Ryan Lochte. He's very open about being on Tinder. Okay, he's an open public athlete about this. But what this guy did, I said, was just voyeurism, and it really was just such shoddy journalism.
Well, he essentially became a stalker. He was stalking these people. He was undercover. He was an undercover stalker. So, well... what I was going to do is track down some gay athletes who've been on Grindr and the Olympic Village and have them talk about their experiences.
Yes.
That might be a lot more interesting and a lot more fun. But hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about the results of some of these LGBTI athletes. A lot more medals. Right now Team LGBTI is in the top 20 if they were a country. Hoping that continues. Jim, I know you'll be watching a lot more diving and track and field and women's basketball in the next couple weeks. So just keep back checking out sports for results, and we will talk to you again next week.